Well, that time to go to work. So I get my lunch packed and get off to work. I got my sandwich. You guys got to have a sandwich. Got a water, got my apple, a couple protein bars, and every guy's got to have some chips, right? You can't have everything healthy. So I'm packing, getting ready for lunch, go to work. So I got to have my phone, you know. You can't go to work without your phone. I'd call in sick, but if I don't have my phone, I can't call in sick. So, okay, there it is. You know, because the phone keeps me connected to the world. I mean, if I got my phone, I can know what's going on news. So if somebody at work asks me what's going on, I'm up to date. You know, the phone keeps me connected to the world. And I can check on the Buckeye status and see when Bose is going to be back and what his status is and all that stuff. So got to have this to stay connected to the world. On your outline that you were handed out when you come in, there's a white piece of paper. There's a box at the top. Now, I know some of you right now, if you take that out, I'll have you fill something in there in just a second. But if I know, realize that some of you say, well, Wayne, I'm going to check out today because I don't work anymore. I'm retired, or I'm too young to work. I'm a student. I'm here to tell you, in God's eyes, you're never too young or too old to work. I want to put you in the back of your mind is when we talk about work, and yeah, we're talking about the work environment, but I also want you to remind you, our work environment could be in our family at the family reunion. Our work environment could be when we're standing in the aisle, the checkout aisle at the grocery store or at the restaurant this afternoon if you go out to eat. That could be your work environment. So what I want you to do, as they bring the lights up, in that box at the top of your outline, if you would put down there, what are some of the things you think that people need to take to work? Now, I'm a retired teacher. I work construction now, so I'm going to take my lunch box is all I need, and that's what I'm going to take to work. What are some of the things you think a person, yourself or a person, would need to take to work? Write a couple of those down there in the box. What do you need to go to work? Any kind of electronic devices, your lunch, whatever it is that you think and you feel that a person would need to go to work. Of course, as I work in construction or in my own business, I have a van loaded with tools, so that's some of the things I'm going to take with me. I looked in a science magazine to kind of get the other side, the world view. And if you were a professional, and I just couldn't pick out every job there is, but if you're a professional, this is what they said. If you're going to work, especially beginning a new job, these are must-have items if you're going to show up and make the right impression at work. First thing they said you needed was a sturdy leather bag. Okay, got to have the leather bag to take with you. They also said you need a notepad to take notes down on. And I realize most of us now use our phones or our tablets, whatever, to take notes on. They said you need pens and pencils. Be prepared, because you never know. You might need a pen or pencil. This is something I never thought of, but if you're a professional, they said you need a flash drive, a USB drive. I never thought about that. You need to take that to work with you in case you got to download some files at work or whatever it may be, so you have to something put those on. An umbrella. It says that you don't want to walk into work wet, so always take an umbrella. Of course, if you're walking in with the supervisor or the boss, that'd be a good idea to keep them dry and get in some brownie points. I didn't understand this one. Take a good book. I've never had a job where I could go and take a book and spend time reading. Maybe you have. Maybe people do that on their break. Maybe rather than eating lunch or on the break, they read a book. Some kind of like an iPad, a Kindle, or a tablet or something like that. Of course, that's to need that. Bluetooth earbuds. So that was a must. Bluetooth earbuds. And here's something I never thought about, a screen cleaner. Because most of us have a phone or a pad or a tablet or something that you want to keep that screen clean. And if you're environmentally conscious and you're in that green thing, expandable plastic bags to save all your stuff in so that way they expand and you can put more garbage and stuff in them. I total these things up and come over to $700. That they thought that you would need in order to start work. But let me ask you this question. If you got up in the day and you asked the Lord, you say, God, what do you want me to take to work today? What do you think God would want you to pack in your lunchbox and take to work with you? What are some of those items? Do you think about that? Do you think maybe at some point in time he would say, Make sure you take the word with you. Now, this is, you know, a Bible that actually I got from the first church I started attending. That's when I graduated. I do have my Bible app on my phone. A few of you here have sent me a friend request, which is nice to know I have at least a few friends in the world. So thank you that I did that. So got that there. How about your faith? You ever think about packing your faith and taking your faith with you to make sure it's leaving with you in the mornings? Or is that something that gets left at home? How about your witness? Is that something you pack and take with you to make sure when you walk out the door in the mornings and you go to work, whether you're going to the coffee shop in the morning to talk to the guys or wherever it may be at the restaurant, that you have your witness with you and those things are being packed along with you? What things would God want you to put and make sure you took to work with you? Think about that for a second. Because there's a lot of times when we leave home, those things get left behind. Would you agree with me at least one thing today, that we live in a world that needs to see God through us? The world desperately, if it ever was a time in the history of our nation anyway, if not in the world, that they need to see God through us. And if we don't take Him with us when we leave in the mornings, if we leave His word, if we leave our testimony, our witness behind, we are not going to make a difference in the world. Because I can tell you this in your first fill-in, the world needs, absolutely needs to see God through us. He does. The world needs to see God. How else are they going to see God unless they see Him through us? We are here this morning. I am here this morning because I saw God working through somebody's life that made an impact on me. And that's what we're talking about today. Making an impact for the world. Now, Jeff gave me a CD of a conference they attended a few years ago, and it was about a conference on how to witness at work, or how to have that, what was a Christian's role in the work environment. And I love what they did, and I played this through my mind several times each day. That they introduced themselves at the conference like this. It says, "Hello, my name is Wayne Eddingfield, a Christian missionary, cleverly disguised as a retired teacher and construction worker." Or, "Hello, my name is," whatever your name is, "a Christian missionary, cleverly disguised as a school teacher, or as a nurse, or as a receptionist, or as a mom, or as a dad, or as a grandparent." You see the thing that we get when we think about Christian missionaries, we think of people who go out and take tracks out or sped tracks, or maybe somebody from another third world country where they're setting up an orphanage. Or here, if you're at GNG, the first thing you think about probably with missionaries is the groups that we send to Haiti every year, or we're building buildings, or we're doing construction work, or we're cleaning teeth, or we're giving shots, or you're doing those kind of things. But I want you to change that picture in your mind for a little bit today, to think that each and every one of you, we could put your picture up and say, you are a Christian missionary. Wherever you're going to be today is your field where you need to be working for the Lord. Wherever you go. It doesn't have to be a foreign country. The world is our missionary field. There are no boundaries to God's workplace. There isn't. There is no boundaries. It's everywhere that you and I go. If you are here in June, I give a statistic about the Barna Group, who polled some millennials who were like 18 to 40 years old. And they asked them that question: how many of you know a Christian, someone who claims to be a Christian? 88%, think about it, 9 out of every 10 people almost said they knew someone who claimed to be a Christian. Then they asked them, how many of you see a difference in the way they live their life? And if you remember that statistic, only 15% of those people said they saw a difference in the way they live their lives. People, they need to see God through us, because they're not seeing that in the world today. If only 15% of those. Let me ask you this. On a scale of 1 to 10, if 10 being the highest, where you know you're out there in the workplace and you're out there in the world and you're setting an example of being Christ-like, and we all know none of us are going to be a perfect 10, okay? But how close to that are you? Or if I ask some of you that knew me or maybe worked with me some, I say, what do you think I am? What number would you give me from 1 to 10? I might be surprised It might be a two or a three. I don't see it that often in you. Think about that. Jeff said when he started this series 2 weeks ago that if you're in the workforce or where you spend most of the time, about a third of your time is spent with those people. Think about that. There are days or weeks that the two guys that I work with now, I spend more time with them than I do with my family. Am I making an impact on their lives? Am I making a difference in their lives? Now, I'm going to show you a video here in a minute. And this gentleman who's speaking, his name is Todd White. Some of you probably have heard Todd White. Todd White is a man who, when he was growing up, was hooked on drugs. I mean, he was out of it. He did everything he could for his next fix. He turned his back on his children, on his fiance, to do that thing. And when God got a hold of him, he did a 180-degree turn. And now he's going around the world telling people about Jesus and telling them, hey, your workplace is a mission field. And he has a passion for this. And the thing I want you to take some videos is to see the passion that he has in his life, that he wants us to go into the workforce, that you're where we go, whether it be to work in the morning or whether it be out to the coffee shop or the restaurant, that is a mission field for us. Listen to his passion.
If you're going to say that I represent Jesus on your job, then you ought to do your job better than everybody else, especially when you're going to pray for people at the same time. You don't want to just say, well, I'm so heavenly minded that I'm no earthly good. You want to be so heavenly minded that you're earthly incredible and that your boss wants more people just like you. I was a delivery guy. I would see the guys, like the UPS guys or this and that kind of thing. And when I would say, hey, bro, let me get that for you. Yeah. No, because I'm a delivery guy.
Yeah.
Like, no, do this. No, I got it. Yeah. And I would take it and deliver it with them. It would so freak them out. You're not just praying for them and being some crazy Christian. Yeah. You're actually wanting to put hands on.
And you're not bummed out about your job and dreading the fact that you have to go back to work. I loved my job, man. I loved it. I got to be around people. Sometimes people want to get into ministry and they forget that their job is their mission field. When you go into that place, you're bringing light into the darkness.
This is who God's created you to be. If I can walk this thing, so can you.
Todd's saying that if God can take a messed up guy like me and go into a workplace and change lives every day, if I can do that, then anybody can do that. How much enthusiasm do you have at your workplace and what you do? How much enthusiasm do you have around your family and friends? How much enthusiasm do you have for him when you go to the supermarket, when you go out to eat? Do you leave him in the car? Do you leave him at home? He says, you know, if we're living the life that he wants us to be, and J.D. said it last week with the Tupperware containers. If you remember, all those, you know, some of us have managers and supervisors and vice presidents all the way up to ultimately, remember, who's in control? God is our ultimate boss. Jesus knows us better than anybody. And he wants us to take that same thing and think about that enthusiasm in your job, that enthusiasm so much so that your boss wants more of you in the workforce. You say, Wayne, you don't understand where I work. I can't understand that. Then start rethinking. God, is this where you want me to be? And if this is, use me here in a positive way. You see, I taught school for 30 years, and I can tell you there was not one day I ever dreaded going to work. I never considered it work. I never considered it really a paycheck. Yeah, I needed to pay the bills. Never thought of it that way. I couldn't wait to get there. And now that I'm in construction remodeling, there's a lot of times I can't wait to get there either, to show enthusiasm. And I hope that you get to that point, if you're not there, that God can use you in a way that your enthusiasm exudes to the point where people want to know, what is different about you? What is it that you have that I need? And it goes right to our focus verse. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 7. I think this would probably be one of Todd's favorite verses. It says this, and if you would repeat that with me, please. It says, work with enthusiasm as though you were working for the Lord rather than for people. Work with what? Work with what? In anything you're doing, working with enthusiasm. I see people that give up their days off to come here to this ministry center to clean the restrooms, and I see them in there with their earbuds in and singing and joyous, and they're loving it. They're working with enthusiasm. Why are they doing it? Because they know they're working for the Lord. They're doing the Lord's work. I don't care what you're doing in life. God wants us to do it to the best of our ability so that you and I can be an example. As we're working for Him rather than for people. The ultimate thing is, if you were here last week, that big bucket, that God is in charge. And who better to work for than Jesus? Because who knows you better than Jesus? I want to work for Him because He knows me better than I know myself. He knows my thoughts. He knows what's going to happen tomorrow. He knows where I need to be next week, next year. He knows that. Let us pray. Father, we're here today to talk about the workplace environment. We're here to talk about how we are to be the light and salt into the world, that we need to be making a difference. And yeah, there's some people here that may be retired, Father, or maybe not be old enough to work, but we're never too young, we're never too old to work for you, because there's always work to be done in your kingdom. So let's not have the mindset that we all, when we leave here and leave this building today, we're entering a mission field that we need to go to work. And use us to do that, to be the difference. We give you the praise in Jesus' name. God's people said, amen. First verse, Matthew chapter 5, verse 13, that Jesus is talking to His disciples. He looks at them. He looks at them. Here's the guys who changed the course of history for the church. Jesus looks at them and He says, you, and if He was here today, He would look at each and every one of you. You are the salt of the earth. But He says, if that salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? If it's no longer good for anything except to be thrown and trampled underfoot. You are the salt. What do you think Jesus meant? Why is He talking about salt? I mean, I got a container of salt here. And we're trying to get a little healthier. You can see I have sea salt. It's really just regular salt. But salt. He says we are to be the salt of the earth. In Jesus' days, there were no refrigerators. There were no deep freezes. So if you wanted to preserve something, guess what you used? You used salt. Salt was a preservative. It preserved life. It kept people going. When there was no way to keep things, they used salt. It also was used to purify. It was a purifying agent. In some of the ceremonies, they used salt to purify. I can remember as a young kid growing up on the farm, my grandpa taught me how to, when we butchered pigs, he showed me how to cure the ham. Now, I know for you health people here and nurses that cured ham is not the healthiest thing in the world, but I tell you, there's nothing better than a fresh cured ham, I'm telling you, or the cure the side. But what he taught me was we had to use the salt, and we had to put that salt in a certain way around the bone and to get it in there, and we had to rub it in so that salt would get into that meat to cure it. Or guess what? If we didn't do it just right, if we weren't intentional about it, it's going to spoil. It's not going to make it. The same with the side. And we had to get that salt and keep rubbing in there. I just, as a kid, I just wanted to throw some salt on it and get out of there. And Grandpa, no, you've got to be intentional about how you use the salt, or it's not going to work. And we could even do everything right some years. And if it got too cold, guess what? If the ham froze, salt didn't work. Or if it got too warm too fast, still wouldn't work. What I'm saying is, if we're the salt of the earth, that salt to be used has got to be used intentional. We've got to be intentional about what we're doing and things, because God sees us as the salt of the earth to preserve the world from the sin that abounds. That's what you and I are to do. Salt is a life-producing agent in the world that we live in. But if you and I are going to be the salt of the earth, we must maintain our saltiness, which means you and I need to make sure that we can maintain a correct relationship with Him through the Word. that were in prayer. I can tell you personally for myself, if I take a day or two off from reading and praying with him, I can get derailed so fast. The world can get a hold of me. I've got to keep myself in tune with his word, or I lose my saltiness. So I got to maintain that. You and I got to maintain through reading and through prayer, through life groups, through ministries, whatever it takes for us to stay plugged in to what he wants us to do. And if we do, then we will become the salt of the earth, to change the world. In Colossians chapter 3, Paul tells, he says, set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. And this is what we've got to do. We've got to keep our mind focused on the things above and God's word, or we're not going to get to where he wants us to be. And I tell you, I struggle some days. I'm just being honest with you. There's days I wake up, I got my lunch packed, and I, okay, God, we're ready to go do some things. Let's go get them. I got some guys at work that need witness to. Let's go get them. And on the way to work, somebody pulls out in front of me or something happens. I chase a squirrel, and guess what? I'm derailed. Forgot all about it already. Then I got to get my mind back on his, what he wants to do. You know, I looked over Morton's website. Do you know salt in its natural state, you know, salt never expires. It's a natural substance. It never expires if it's natural. It's kind of like honey. You can always heat the honey up and it comes back. If it turns to sugar, just heat it up and it's always there. It always stays good. But you know what they said? If you put additives into the salt, then it will expire. And the more additives you put into the salt, the quicker it expires. It has a shelf life. What does that mean to you and I? If we are pure in our natural state, the way God wants us to be, we won't expire. We'll always be good to others. But the moment I let the contaminants of the world get into my life, guess what? It's not going to last very long. And the more contaminants, they said, the more stuff you put into the salt, the quicker it expires. What do you think Jesus was telling them? They were the salt of the earth, the preservative, make things pure once again for you and I. So what does this mean for you and I? We need to be prepared to give an answer to those around us. You ever been in the checkout line and just had that feeling that you're supposed to say something to somebody? And you're ready to give that answer? You say, Wayne, I just have been a new Christian. I don't know a whole lot about the Bible, or I just don't feel that way. That's not what we're talking about. We're not talking about those questions, and I've had this question by students before. Well, Mr. Eddingfield, if there is a God, can he make a rock so big that he can't pick it up? What? There's not going to be a right answer to that. That's just going to lead to an argument. Or, you know, I heard that Jesus is going to come back, you know, September 25th. Is that going to happen? You know, that's not the kind of questions where, because people will try to start an argument with you to see, you know, these crazy questions, you know. Did Adam have a belly button? You know, that kind of thing. This is what I'm talking about. Look at the next scripture, 1 Peter chapter 3. This is very important for you to understand. If you're not witnessing and you're not being assault, this will help you do that. He says, but in your hearts, first of all, you need to revere Christ as Lord. Get that first. Revere in your hearts Christ as Lord. Always. Always means that when we're standing in the checkout line, we're at the restaurant, when we're at work and that coworker asks the question, always be prepared to give an answer to who? Everyone who what? Ask you, me and you, to give a reason, and here's the most important part, to give a reason for what? The hope that you have. He's not telling you, get ready to answer all the questions in Revelation, or all those hard questions that sometimes we can't answer. He says, you just need to be ready to give the reason for the hope that you have. That's what we have to start at. If I can give a reason for the hope that I have, and some of you in here knew me in my college days, knew where I was, And you see, now you see the difference and the change in my life. I can tell you what the hope is, and you'll believe it because you see the change. Because I'm telling you what the hope is that I have. Now, don't get me wrong, you still need to read and study the Word. The more of this we take in, the better off we're going to be. But he's simply saying, if you are able to give a reason for that, I can't get as emphasized enough, the hope that you have. But this is do this with gentleness and respect and keeping a clear conscience. Do it in love. Do it in love, and people will want it. I want to hang out with positive people, don't you? And that should give us a life that is a positive life to live. Can you? And in class 401, we talk about it. Just talk about your before, quickly, where you were before Jesus, and be ready to tell him, here's what he's done for me, because you know what? Nobody can ever argue your testimony. Those of you that know me, you can't argue with the difference in my life was before then and where it is now. You can't argue that. You just see the difference. What does hope do? Hope gives you strength. Hope gives you joy. Hope gives you peace. Hope does all those things for you that the world can offer. And I'm telling you, when people see that you have hope, in a dying world, they're going to want what you got, and they're going to come to you and start asking questions. They're going to want it. Be ready to give that reasonable answer for the hope that you have. That's what he wants us to do. Chuck Swindoll, which is a famous Christian author that some of you read a lot of his books. He's a pastor here in the States. He wrote a book called The Strong Family. And in his book, Strong Family, this is what Chuck Swindoll said: witness for Christ each day. And if necessary, what's he say? Use words. That's the easy part for you and I. It should be. Because your life and my life should reflect his, without saying a word. I've always said, if my students in the classroom had to ask me if I was a Christian, then I probably wasn't being a Christian. He said, well, Wayne, in a classroom, I understand in a classroom, your environment kind of, you know, is that way, which may be hard to tell, but they should know as a Christian. Because here's the key. If my walk matches my faith, my words, guess what? Witnessing becomes easy. And here's what it is for all of us. Those of you that are here today, you say, Wayne, I can't do this. I'm telling you, you can, because here's the reason why you can. If you take somebody who knows the book, the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, if they know and quote every scripture, but if they don't live that in your life, do you want to listen to them? Absolutely not. You do not want to listen. I don't want to listen to them. But I can tell you, you take a new Christian who knows maybe a little bit about the Bible, and they're trying to apply that to their life, guess what? I want to listen to what they got to say. I want to hear what they got to say, because I can see Jesus working through their lives. The more of it we take in, the better it is. But here's the thing. Are we walking that life that reflects what we believe? And if you do, the more you do, the easier it is to witness. Because what happens? People start coming to you and saying, can we talk? Can we pray? Would you pray with me? Matthew chapter 5, later in that same verse, when he talked about the salt, he says, in the same way, Jesus says, let your light shine before others. Why? That they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. They start seeing what you're doing. They see that you're different. I've been told I've been different all my life, so nothing new to me, just in a good way now. Think about that. Let your light shine. You're the salt of the earth, and when you do that, your light shines out, and people say, what is it that you have? How can you be like this in the midst of all what's going on, but you're still positive, you're still upbeat? You say, Wayne, you don't understand the work situation, man. It's awful. Well, then allow God to work through you and say, Lord, help me be that impact and reflect you in my job if this is where I'm supposed to be. Please let me do it. Because I can tell you right now, your example to others is critical. Without your example, your words are empty. They mean nothing. They mean nothing. People don't want to hear it. People do not want to hear it if you don't live it. So you don't have to say a whole lot to be the salt of the earth. You just have to set the example for people to see. And you can change a life without even saying anything. See, some people say they want to see your good deeds. I'm saying seeing your good deeds is good, but it's not enough if you want to change the world, because people need to start following your good deeds if you want to change the world. When people start coming to you at work and saying, would you pray with me? Can we talk? Then you're making a difference in the world. Because people know that you care. And you've heard that statement. Well, people don't want to know how much notes you know, how much they care. Well, I want to change that today a little bit. I want you to write this down. I want you to know that people don't care how much you know or I know until what? They see how much I care. Go to the coworker that nobody else will witness. Go to the student in your classroom that nobody else will talk to. Go sit in the lunchroom next to the person that nobody else will sit to. Be that and let them see the difference in your life, and then they'll come to you and start wanting to know what is going on in your life. I want to throw out another statistic to you, which alarmed me. I heard this on the radio. This was done by a Christian organization. They polled some late teens and early 20s people who are leaving the church. Said, why are you leaving the church? You know why they said they were leaving the church? And some of them have even become agnostic and atheist. You know why? The number one reason why? Because they said, we don't see a difference in the people in the church than we do in the people in the world. Why would we live this? Because it's no difference. Why believe it? Because we don't see any difference in their lives. That's what they're seeing from the church. That's why you and I need to be the salt of the earth. That's why we need to make sure that this salt is getting spread, that it's getting out there. I remember when Janice and I first got married, we bought, I think it was, you get the little 1 pound canisters of this with the little top. On our 10th anniversary, we still had that original 1 pound thing of salt. And that's when we were still canning. We did a lot of canning and did that kind of stuff. We just didn't do a whole lot of salt, but it kept forever because it was in a natural state. But we wouldn't preserve anything unless we added the salt to it. It was just a certain amount of salt put in there to preserve it. And that's what they need to see out of you and I. I'm not going to tell you it's easy, because we live in a fallen world, but he wants us to be different, to be the salt and the light. Romans 12:2 says this, do not conform to the pattern of this world. Does anybody else here have trouble with that besides me some days? I mean, I'm telling you, I struggle some days. I've got my lunchbox packed, I'm ready to go, and I get out there, and the next thing you know, I'm listening to the news or listening to whatever and get off track, and I was thinking, I'm no different than the guy next to me. He says, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your what? Mind. How do I renew my mind? I get my thoughts focused back where it needs to be on God. I get back into the Word and say, Lord, okay. And I get on my knees. I spend time in prayer. Unless I'm driving. And I'm praying, I'm driving, I'm on my knees. I'm usually, you know, setting when I'm doing that. Pray a lot when I'm driving. Spend time in prayer. Spend time in the Word and say, Lord, okay, where do I need to go? What do I need to be doing? Transform me here. Let me get to things of the world, because the world wants to change the way you think. Then you will be able to test and approve. Then, he says, after you've had your mind renewed by the Word and through prayer, then you will be able to approve what is God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Then you'll start to understand wherever you're at in your family, with your friends, with your coworkers, what it is you are to do. Because he starts speaking mightily through you to them. And you're making a difference. And I'm telling you, there is no greater joy in your life when you're able to impact a life for Jesus. It brings great joy when you do that in your life. So what about your behavior around others? Well, number one, be concerned for those around you, your coworkers. Be concerned around the people who are sitting in the booth next to you at the restaurant. Be concerned about the people who are standing in that line, the checkout line behind you. Listen, and I guarantee you, if you do, God will put people in your path to make a difference in their lives. Guarantee it. So be concerned. Be positive. And I know it's hard some days, but he wants us to be positive because I honestly believe a positive sinner will have a greater impact on a life than a negative saint. I was that way at one time. You say, well, Wayne, a negative saint. There are people who profess to be Christians that I doubt sometimes that you need a little bit more Jesus than what you got because there's still work to be done there because you're still sucking on the pickle jar there and you shouldn't be that way. We should be the happiest people on earth. So be positive because negativity will drain a relationship. Amen? It will. Watch your language. Watch what you say. And we talked about this, and if you were here in June, Colossians 3:8 says this, but now you must also rid yourselves of all such things as anger. And you guys can start throwing the spears up here because I still struggle with that some. Rage, malice, slander, filthy language from your lips, because what we say can impact our relationship with those around us in an instant. Positively or negatively. It can. Why are some people great leaders in the sports? Why are some of the greatest sports leaders? Because they have a positive impact on those around them. They're encouragers. The leader in the team is not the guy that's putting you down. I guarantee you that. That's not the leader. The leader is the one who's positive, makes you believe in yourself, and says the right things. So be concerned, be positive, watch what you say. And then what we want you to do is to go engage. To engage people in the faith and the belief that you have. When you leave this building today, I want you to know, you're going to engage people. You're going to engage people when you leave here today. And you're entering into a mission field. We don't have to wait till we get to Haiti in January or wherever you may be going. Or your ministry, you can go engage in the mission field today with a heart and a purpose. And I want to put your mind to these because Jesus says it's a very simple thing for us to do in John chapter 6, verses 28 and 29. The disciples, okay, here's the guys around Jesus that they're seeing the miracles happen. They've seen him, you know, raise the dead. They've seen the blind see. They've seen him walk on water. They come to him and say, okay, Jesus, what must we do to do the work that God requires? What must we do? Okay, now you're thinking, okay, at this point, Jesus is going to give a 300-page dissertation. This is what you've got to do. And he's going to hand you a big, thick book and say, this is what you got to do the work that God requires. Here's what I want you to write down, the second part of that verse. It says this. It's just simple. He says, the work of God is this. Okay, and you're thinking, okay, this is going to be really hard. I don't know if I can do this. He said, what he says, the work of God is this, to believe in the one that was what? Sent. Think about that. What is it that we are to do the work that God requires? He simply says this. To believe in the one he has sent. That's why Todd White calls it believerism and not evangelism. Not putting evangelism down. He says it's believerism. Getting people just to believe what you believe. He says, what do I need to do? Required to simply believe in the one he has sent. Do you believe that? Because if you do, then you definitely can change the world. So those of you out there that are nervous about going into the workplace or to your family, he simply says, just believe in me. Just believe. Now you say, well, Wayne, how some ways to engage? These things come from our meeting on Monday night. I simply ask the people, what have you done in your workplace to engage people? Here's what they said. Number one, make myself available to listen or to share. All sometimes you got to do is make yourself available to someone who wants to talk to somebody, to listen to somebody. Just make yourself available. One guy says he just simply takes his Bible to lunch, and on his lunch break, he reads his Bible. And guess what? Through reading, his sitting there reading his Bible, his conversations have started up over the Word of God by simply just taking his Bible to lunch break. Be willing to pray with others. Once they see your life and you're living the right life, they'll want you to come and pray. One of the ladies said she, in one of the meetings, she said something to one of the workers one day, and they said, well, I can't believe you said that, but kind of called somebody out. Well, guess what? A few weeks later, when something happened in the life, guess who they were coming to talk to? Because they knew where she stood. Be an example. Start a discussion group. One person, they just started a group discussion. Those are just some things people did and used. And here's the great news as we wrap this up today. Romans 10:15 tells us this. People, this is beautiful. How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Isn't that wonderful? How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. I will engage. I must engage. Will you engage? Will you go out and engage people? As we wrap this up, now the check boxes didn't come up on the thing, but Tom's going to put them up here real quick. You know, some of the things we want to see, your next step is maybe view yourself as work to do something for the Lord rather than people. Are you working for God rather than for people? Next one. I need to ask myself, do I work with enthusiasm? Are you going to go to work with enthusiasm? And last two, do I view my life as secular or sacred? And maybe you're here today and you say, Wayne, I need to become a follower so I can make an impact. And jot that down and come and see one of us, set up an appointment. Now, before we do that last fill-in, out on the carts where you put your clipboards, there's bracelets. They're not going to hand them out to you, but the bracelets say, ask for Christ. If you're willing for the next 30 days to engage people, to work as if you're working for the Lord, to make a difference in lives, to take that step farther, then pick one of these up. If you're not, then don't pick it up. If you want to take one today and take it home with you and pray about it, then pick one up and say, Lord, let me be that person that could be the salt of the earth. Mine, I've asked Jesus to kind of put a string on it so when I get ready to do something wrong, he can kind of, you know, do one of these things, just flip me. Yeah, don't honk your horn. Just take some patience. They'll be okay. Pick one of those up on your way out. And remember this as we close this up. What are our jobs? Our jobs are this. To make an invisible God visible to the world. When you go engage today, you're engaging people that maybe can't see a God, but they're about to because you're going to engage them so they can see Him. Let us pray. Father, we are truly grateful and thankful for this day. Father, we truly give you the praise and the glory and honor that we have the opportunity to be the salt of the earth. that we have an opportunity to change lives. Let us engage those who we need to engage, Father. Let us be the difference in somebody's life. Someone was doing that or we wouldn't be here this morning in our lives. So let us go forward, Father. Give us the strength and the joy and hope and the peace to do so, that we might make a difference in lives. Let us engage in our work environment, whether it be at work, or at the line at the grocery store, with our family. Let us engage so that we might be the salt of the earth, to make a difference so they can see us for who you want us to be. In Jesus' name, amen.